Hello from the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is an extra edition of Roughly Speaking for Friday, April 20th, 2018. Today is the 37th birthday of former Baltimore County School Superintendent Dallas Dance. But the occasion was hardly one to celebrate. Dance, a once promising school administrator, faced sentencing today in circuit court in Towson for failing to disclose nearly $147,000 that he earned from part-time consulting jobs. Dance had already pleaded guilty to four counts of perjury related to the income he earned outside of his role as superintendent for the 25th largest public school system in the country out in Baltimore County. Liz Bowie has been covering the story for The Sun and is with us now. Liz, nice to see you.
Good to see you.
6 months in jail, is that right?
6 months in jail. He received a five-year sentence, all of but 6 months suspended. He'll serve it in the county jail, which detention center, which by circumstance, amazing circumstance, is right next to a very wonderful public school. So if he's on the right side of the jail, he can look outside and see students coming and going from the Carver Center.
That is a beautiful school, and it opened around the same time Dallas Dance became superintendent in Baltimore County, correct?
The first day that it was open was his first day of the public school system.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
In 2012.
In 2012.
The state usually recommends a sentence, and of course, the defense asks for leniency usually. So how did that go down today?
The state had asked for 18 months. Each of the four perjury counts that he was convicted on carry a 10-year sentence. But the state said they were recommending to Judge Kathleen Cox that he receive 18 months. He and his lawyers had asked for probation. There was an enormous amount of material that was filed to the court, to the judge, in the last week and a half from friends and family who said there were hundreds of pages of documents. People wrote letters asking for leniency. There were many letters from people who sincerely said Dance had changed their life in some way, that he had mentored them or had intervened in some moment that was important in their life, or that he had just been a good colleague or son.
Did any of those people testify, or was this all letters that people had submitted to the court?
That was letters, but there were six people who testified on his behalf as well. Some of them from out of state who came to say, you know, I've worked next to him for years, or I have, his college roommate was there saying, I've known him for 19 years. He's an incredible man. There was a real estate agent from Baltimore County who testified to how important he had been in terms of the community. So there was a lot of support for him in terms of and Freeman Hrabowski, UMBC's president, had written on his behalf as well.
Did Dallas Dance speak to the judge?
He did. He stood up towards the very end of the hearing. It was a two-hour hearing. He stood up and he was very contrite. He said he was ashamed of himself. He was embarrassed, that he felt terrible, that he had betrayed the trust of the students and the parents and the teachers in the school system. And he said he would have to live with that for the rest of his life.
Let's talk about what he did exactly. I mentioned that sum, $147,000 for outside work. He didn't disclose this. That's one thing. But there was more to it than that.
One of the things that the prosecution went into was the fact that he had been working for Supes Academy, which is a professional training company headquartered in Illinois.
S-U-P-E-S.
S-U-P-E-S, all capitals, Academy. During the first year that he was in the school system. At the same time, Supes got a contract with the school system. that implies that there was some, you know, pay to play or quid pro quo, or but in fact, what the defense argued and the judge said as well is this was about filling out forms wrong. It was not about the appearance of a bribe, essentially.
Yeah, certainly a conflict, though. Right?
A conflict. He was not charged with, receiving money and
extortion or bribery.
No,
right?
He was not charged with that. He was not convicted of it. So what he was convicted of was simply filling out his financial disclosure reports in the wrong way, not failing to tell the public and the school system that he had taken this much money in part-time income.
And it wasn't just a mistake, though. Right?
No. And what the judge said was it would have been one thing if he'd filled out the forms wrong by mistake, which he said she didn't believe anyway because he's a very bright man. There's a lot of testimony about how academically advanced he was as a kid and on and on. But he, in fact, got caught having failed to fill it out properly and got caught when people realized that he was working for Supes. He had to amend his forms, and then he again failed to disclose income. So what the judge said was, we wouldn't be here today if he had made one mistake and that was the end of it. This was a repeated failure to disclose. One of the interesting things I think that came out was why would he do this? Everybody wanted to know, why did he do this?
Yeah.
And they said that the defense attorney said that he did it because he was afraid that if it came out, he would be attacked by his critics, particularly those on the school board, who would make it a huge issue.
Excuse me, Liz, this happened almost from the beginning of his tenure as Baltimore County School Superintendent, right?
That's correct.
So what critics, does he mean people who had opposed his appointment as superintendent?
Right, and I guess, the first ethics complaint happened in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the subsequent filings that were inaccurate were coming at a time where there were members of the board who were really attacking him openly.
So he thought this would give them more fodder.
Right. And I think he wanted a second four-year contract, and he knew that that could be a problem. And so, I'm sort of implying that, but what the defense attorney said was that he was afraid of his critics. And I sort of wonder if he had been older, if he was a 50 or 60-year-old man, would he have had enough presence to go ahead and disclose it and be able to deal with the criticism of the community? Would he have been more reflective or more able to withstand criticism? He's very young.
I understand. There's a lot of shaking of heads over this, isn't there?
There is. And I think that there are some people who are just furious about this and are
furious at him?
Furious at him.
Yeah.
And feel really betrayed. I mean, he had a lot of support from some people, and he was kind of a superstar to kids. And that's one of the tragic things. Kids really looked up to this guy. And one of the things that was talked about in the courtroom today is how quickly he made close connections to students.
So his legacy becomes the superintendent who lied? I mean, before we knew any of this, I guess there were ethical questions going back a few years. But
right.
I mean, what could his legacy have been in Baltimore County schools? What impact did he have in the schools?
Well, I think he would still be superintendent. He would have stayed for 8 years.
Hmm.
He would have been known as having introduced a laptop program that will provide every kid in the system a laptop. And while that has been controversial in some areas of the county, in other areas of the county, it's very, very popular.
There's the ESL stuff too, right?
Yes.
He expanded ESL education?
He did. So I think he, you know, he had some blunders that everybody admits, and he admitted in terms of curriculum and introduction of things. But I think he would be known as someone who had taken the system forward into this digital age, whether they liked it or not.
By the way, I mentioned that today is his birthday.
Yes.
Did I have it right? I said 37. Is he 37?
He is 37 today.
37 years old. And what was that like after the sentencing and, you know, when people are shifting around, moving around in court? Is there anything else you can tell us about that court scene?
I've been covering Douglas Dance for 6 years, and so I'm pretty good at reading him, I think, or a little bit good at reading him. And I've just never seen him so look so terrible. He was completely flat. He didn't make eye contact with people. He refused to even look at me when I spoke to him. He was rubbing his eyes a lot in court. He appeared to be taking notes at times, but was almost expressionless that I could see. He was wearing a black suit, stayed as long as he could at the bench before he ran out of the courtroom. You know, he's a really different man. He's usually very gregarious and bubbly and outspoken and joking around with people. And he is known as a communicator, and he was doing none of that today.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about. This is something raised by his attorney, that the failure to disclose the mistake or the intentional failure to disclose on the form, the use of this form. This was something that was done by a woman who's just been named superintendent of schools in Baltimore County, right?
That is correct.
Verletta White, she did the same thing.
She did the same thing, but it was a very different situation.
She did it one time?
She did it one time. She said she failed to understand how to fill out the forms. She corrected those forms immediately, and presumably she won't make that mistake again.
Do you think the board is going to say to future superintendents, we don't want you making outside income? You just work for us exclusively.
I think so. In fact, Verletta White has said, I'm not going to take in any other job. This is my full-time job, and I won't do any more work.
And Dallas Dance, I meant to mentioned this earlier too. It's 6 months in the county jail plus some hours of community service, correct?
700 hours of community service.
Well, that's significant.
Which is very significant. He also has the opportunity to work outside. So to leave jail during the day and work outside at night. To have a job.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get a job, and it has to be – he's eligible for this, and I think it has to be approved by the judge.
Did the judge say anything in passing sentence?
She did. She said that she took at face value the fact that he had done a lot of good things with his life and that he had had an impact on the community and was a good superintendent, but that it wasn't about that entirely. She said she believed that – she had to send a message to the community and public officials that this was not acceptable. That hiding income, you know, that failing to fill out your forms was a serious matter, and it was a public trust, and that she had to send that message. She said she thought Dallas Dance had been punished already, that he had lost his career, he'd lost his job, he doesn't know what he's going to do, and has, you know, suffered greatly. It sounded as though she didn't feel she had to punish him. And even his probation will not go through the normal channels. It won't be supervised in the normal ways. So mm-hmm. She clearly doesn't think he's going to run or that he won't serve his time or that he won't take it seriously. But she felt she had to use his as an example, I guess.
Liz, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Liz Bowie writes about state and local education issues for the Baltimore Sun. I want to say congratulations to Liz for the award that you received from the National Headliners for your series Bridging the Divide, The Struggle to Move Past Segregated Schools. Former Sun reporter Erica Green and longtime Sun photographer Lloyd Fox also worked on the series with Liz. It was published last March. You can find a link to the series in the notes for this podcast. Way to go, Liz.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this special edition of Roughly Speaking. Dan Roderick's for our producers, Steve Early and Queen Kelly. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.